Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The author of the hymn of the day that we just sang, Nikolai Frederick Severin Grundtvig, was perhaps inspired to emphasize living stones instead of crumbled spires by the old cathedral church of Our Lady that still lay in ruins in Copenhagen several decades after the Danish-Norwegian forces bombed it during the Napoleonic Wars. Other than perhaps in Ukraine, in our time, not the inflicted bombs of war or points of communist weapons, but the voluntary decommissionings of church buildings sees them turned not to rubble, but to apartments, restaurants, or worse. If not Grundtvig, then his later English translator, Carl Duving, seems to have drawn the hymn's opening line from Jesus's contrast in his so-called Sermon on the Mount between a foolish man's house built on sand and a wise man's house built on the rock. Generally, in Holy Scripture, the rock is our Lord Jesus Christ, or things very closely associated with him, such as the ministry of or the office making the confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in today's gospel reading. Upon that rock, Jesus, with a play on words, says he will build his church. Thus, considering primarily the gospel reading this morning, we direct our thoughts to the theme, built on the rock. In today's gospel reading, the divinely inspired St. Matthew uniquely reports our Lord Jesus Christ's promise to build his church on that rock, his promise to give to Peter as a representative of the other apostles and their successors, pastors today, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That promise came in the context of Peter's confessing on behalf of the group of apostles Jesus' identity and work. After Jesus had essentially begun to interrogate his disciples about what people said about him. As other evangelists also report, the true confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, contrasts with false confessions of Jesus, as if he were just a prophet, even if a prophet that might have had to have been raised from the dead. The recently released 2022 Lutheran Religious Life Survey concludes that if current trends continue, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will never again see growth, and that membership could easily fall by 75% from its current levels within the lifetimes of current LCMS members. However, the survey goes on to theorize that if in the next 15 years, the Synod would simultaneously double the rate of conversions, have one additional child per woman, and double its rate of retaining youth from 40% to 80% as before the 1960s, then the synod would grow again by the year 2070. If not directly, then at least indirectly, all of us could play a role in those areas of conversions, births, and youth retention. But sadly, too often, we might wrongly think that we do not have to do anything, that God will work apart from what anyone does. Too often, we wrongly might be indifferent to false confessions of faith, as if, as long as someone says that they believe in Jesus, what they believe about Jesus, who he is and what he does not matter. Whether the Reformed error of not believing that Jesus is truly God, or the Roman Catholic error of not believing that Jesus did enough to save people. Too often we might doubt Jesus' promise to build his church and for it to withstand the gates of hell. Too often we might not stomach the right use of the keys of the kingdom, whether the binding of sin in excommunication, in part for the sake of leading someone to repent, or the loosing of sin in absolution after one has privately confessed their sin. Too often we sin in these and in countless other ways, for we are sinful by nature, and so we deserve nothing but death here and now and eternal torment in hell. Unless, that is, we repent as God calls and so enables us to do. As we heard in the gospel reading two Sundays ago, after Jesus walked on the sea and the wind ceased, his disciples worshiped him as the Son of God. So what is new about Peter's confession in today's gospel reading is that Jesus is confessed to be not merely a prophet, but the Christ, the Messiah, the long-promised Savior. Jesus is confessed not as one of many anointed ones, but as the definitive anointed one. Jesus' identity as the Son of the living God in human flesh is necessary for his work of saving all people from their sins. Jesus made the good confession of his identity and work before the high priest and Pontius Pilate, and then was crucified for it. But out of God's great love and mercy, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, dying in our place, dying the death that we deserved. Raised from the dead, Jesus is, as it were, a living sacrifice, a lamb who was slain, but now stands again. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive our sins, whatever our sins might be. God forgives us all our sins of doubting his promise to build the church, of not doing anything to bless and build the church, of being indifferent to false confessions of faith, of not stomaching the right use of the keys, or whatever our sin might be. God forgives us all our sins through his ministry of, or the office of, the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, through the exercise of the keys of the kingdom. In today's Old Testament reading, the Lord called the people of Israel to look to the rock from which they were hewn, to the quarry from which they were dug, to Abraham their father and to Sarah their mother, who were unable to conceive apart from God's miraculous intervention. In some sense, our physical conceptions are no less miraculous than Isaac's and his descendants, but especially our spiritual births are miraculous. Not human flesh and blood reveal to us Jesus' identity and work, but the Father reveals the Son to us, as we in holy baptism are born from above by water and the Spirit. After we privately confess to our pastor the sins that particularly trouble us, our pastor in individual absolution looses those sins on earth, and so those sins are loosed also in heaven. Heaven is the place where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell, but their dwelling there does not keep them from being present and active also on earth. As Jesus in the sacrament of the altar is present with bread that is his body given for us and wine that is his blood shed for us, and so also give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In all of these ways, Jesus builds us as living stones into his church, with her foundation, the apostles and prophets, and with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. As we heard in today's epistle reading, we also present our bodies as living sacrifices, dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, each using the faith and gifts that God has given us as different members of the body, but still together as one body. As we prayed in today's collect, we boldly confess Jesus to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. The charge reported in the gospel reading, not to tell anyone that Jesus is the Christ, ended at the resurrection and does not apply to us. We do what we can to increase conversions, births, and youth retention. We do all that and more, knowing both that building Christ's church does not ultimately depend on us and that God works through means such as us, our faithfully confessing in our own lives, are supporting the ministry of the keys and the like. As Peter failed to be rock-like and denied his Lord, but then repented and was forgiven, so also when we fail and repent, we are forgiven. And the Lord adds to his church, day by day, those who are being saved. In Christ, his church conquers all. And like Peter, we are blessed with the joy of sharing in his salvation. Church buildings and the organizations in them may come and go, but Christ's church, built on the rock, remains. Numbers as we see them may rise and fall, but in the end, the great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, stands before the throne and before the Lamb, worshiping by ascribing blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.